All right, well, good morning. Welcome to Northridge Community Church. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so excited that we're all here to be able to celebrate Jesus today. We're in a message series called The End Commandments, and we're looking at different commandments. We're familiar with the Ten Commandments, but throughout the New Testament, Jesus also shared some other things with the disciples and the people that he taught. Things that we're not supposed to do. Things like do not fear, do not doubt, do not sin, do not judge. And today, the not commandment that we're looking at is worry not. Anyone here want to admit that they never ever worry in their life? At some point in our lives, all of us wrestle with worry, don't we? Well, if you look at your outline this morning, notice that worry is any circumstance that continually occupies your mind with fear or anxiety because there appears to be no immediate resolution. So what causes worry in your life? What things do you worry about? Finances, relationships, health, your grades at school? Whatever it is, normally when you're worrying about something, it has to do with the future. You want things to go well in your life. When I was a kid, I remember my mom saying to me, "Doug, don't be such a worrywart." Have you ever heard that word? Anybody ever hear that word, worrywart? Like, I didn't know it was a real word, but I looked it up and it's actually in the dictionary. Is that crazy? A worrywart is a person who is inclined to worry excessively and needlessly. Nobody wants to be a worrywart. And I would venture to guess that all of us would love to eliminate worry from our lives. There are three problems with worry. Worry is unhelpful, it's unreasonable, and it's unhealthy. It's unhelpful because it never accomplishes anything. Think about it. Does your worry ever solve anything? And it's unreasonable because it actually exaggerates your problems. It makes you focus on your problems and they become bigger and bigger. The more you really think about something you're worried about, the bigger it gets. To worry about something you can't change is unreasonable. It's also unhealthy. The study shows that worry and anxiety in our life is not good for our body. It wasn't made to worry. It's an unnatural thing. When we worry too much, we end up with ulcers, backaches, headaches, insomnia, all of these things that make us unhappy and unhealthy. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the old English word for worry meant to strangle or to choke. And that's actually what worry does in your life. It strangles you. It chokes you. It chokes the life out of you. And the actual biblical meaning for worry is to be pulled in all kinds of different directions. Think about it. When you worry, don't you feel that way? Don't you feel like you're just getting pulled apart? Like life is just tearing you up? Can you identify the circumstances that cause worry in your life? Well, no matter what definition we use, I think we can all agree that worry is unhealthy and we want to eliminate it from our lives. So let's look at what Jesus says about worry and how we can change the way it drives our heart and mind. I'm going to read for you today from Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It'll be up on the screen as well. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And just a note there, that word there is actually the word mammon, which means your own wealth and possession. So it's not just about money. It's about our stuff. He goes on to say, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not even dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. So seek first the kingdom of God and above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus starts out by saying, no one can serve two masters. You can't love God and at the same time love your stuff. Because if you think about it, most of the time when we worry, it has to do with our stuff, the things, our possessions, our money, or activities and events that we have going on in our lives. Jesus makes that statement and then he moves right into, that's why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Do you see the connection that Jesus is making? He's connecting worry with being our master. Who is our master? Are we allowing worry to be our master, or is God really our master? Jesus' statement, do not worry, is a simple encouragement to us, but it's also a command. Again, Jesus isn't commanding this because he wants life to be difficult for us. He knows that it's important. He wants to try and help us. What Jesus is telling us is that worry is destructive and sinful. First on your outline. Worry is destructive and sinful. You see, when we allow something or someone other than Jesus to be our master, we're being selfish, and it's destructive and sinful. Worry is sinful because it shows a lack of faith in God's sovereignty and his providence. Now, those are two really fancy theological terms that basically means that we don't trust in God's power to control the things in our lives, and we don't trust that God really cares about us. Robert Mounts, who is a biblical commentary, a guy that writes commentaries and stuff like that, he's a theologian. He says this, worry is actually practical atheism, and it's offensive to God. Worry is practical atheism and offense to God. Think about that. We never realize that worry is that destructive in our lives, do we? But in all reality, what Jesus is saying is when we worry, we're not focused on our relationship with him. Anytime we worry, we're acting like an atheist. We don't have faith in God. In essence, what we're saying is there must not be a God because my wants and my desires aren't being met. You see, when we worry, we're concerned that God isn't going to keep his promises. That he's not going to give us the things that will take care of our needs. We don't believe that God will do what he says he will do. Worry, therefore, is essentially a failure to trust in God. Jesus says these are the thoughts that dominate the minds of unbelievers. So Jesus challenges that by asking a rhetorical question. Isn't life more important than food and clothing? So what Jesus is trying to do is draw your attention to the beauty of the life that he has given to you, that he has created you. He has given you life and a body. And since he has created you, and since he is your heavenly Father, why in the world would he ever not think about loving and caring for you? Think about it this way. If you're a parent or a grandparent, and how much you love your children and your grandchildren. And when they come to you, if they ever said to you that they're worried that you're not going to take care of them, how ridiculous that might sound. Because you want to do everything in your power as a parent and a grandparent to show your love by caring for your children. Jesus uses the birds and the lilies as examples. If our Heavenly Father takes care of them, why in the world wouldn't He take care of us? Because we have far more value to Him than they do. God loves us and He promises to take care of us. You see, when we worry, we're prone to fix our thoughts and attention on the immediate concerns in our own selfish life rather than thinking about the promises of God to love and care for us. Do we really believe that God loves and cares for us? Do we have faith that God loves us enough to care for us? Jesus, later on in Matthew 10, says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." You are valuable to God. He loves and cares for you over and above all of creation. We know that that doesn't eliminate the trials and the difficulties in our life, because we live in a broken, sinful world. But our response to those things is really important and is what makes the difference in whether or not we can eliminate worry in our lives. So how do we respond to God in an honoring way? How do we increase our faith and eliminate the worry in our lives? Today I want to share with you three remedies for worry. So again, on your outline, the first one is to redirect your faith. Redirect your faith. Worry is a matter of faith. Jesus asked the question, why do you have such little faith? See, worry is a lot like fear. God allows us to have that emotion to remind us that we are not in control and that we need to express our faith in Him to help us through whatever it is that we face. Worry happens not only when we try to control things, but when we depend too much on ourselves. What we are actually doing when we worry is that instead of putting our faith in God to help us and to trust that He will take care of us, we are actually putting our faith in worry itself. We're making worry our master instead of God. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Take it one day at a time. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Think about this. Why do we struggle so bad with that? Why is that so difficult for us? Sometimes we think that that's absurd. We don't think that God is actually going to come through for us. We're not quite sure that it's going to work out the way we want it to work out. Here's a question for all of us. Why not believe that? Why not believe that? Ask yourself if worry ever resolved anything in your life. Jesus actually said in John 14, verse 1, He said, "Don't be worried. You have faith in God, so have faith in Me." Don't put your faith in worry. Put your faith and trust in Me. Think about it this way. When someone predicts their own death and resurrection and it actually happens, I think that there's someone that is worthy of looking at and going, yeah, that's somebody that I can trust. Somebody that I can trust in His promises. Somebody that will help me like He said He would. Jesus did that. And Jesus comes to us and He says, don't be worried. Believe in Me. Have faith in Me. I will help you through it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it this way. Could you read this with me? Let's read this together. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. That's a great verse for all of us to remember. In times of worry, if you have that memorized, it will help you through your worry. It will remind you to take your focus off of whatever it is you're worried about and put your focus and faith in trusting in God with all of your heart. When we do that, we depend on God. We depend on His promises. Remember, He said that if you believe in Him, He will send a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will come and work in you to remind you, to give you faith and help you, encourage you in those difficult times. Depending on God's Spirit for guidance is a daily, hourly, and sometimes a moment-by-moment choice that we need to make. Galatians 5:16 says it this way, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." To be honest with you, if you're like me, our sinful nature craves worry. We want to worry about stuff. It's a control issue. And God tells us right here, let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Then we won't be doing what our sinful nature craves. Here's a challenge for you. I want you to think about this. Because I've noticed this in my life. When God's Word is alive and working in my heart, there seems to be no worry. It's when God's Word isn't prevalent and important in my life that I see worry start to take control of my heart and my mind. You see, faith is connected to wanting to have a relationship with God. The best way that we can do that is to read God's Word. If you want to eliminate worry in your life, you need to have faith in God. And part of that faith means investing in reading God's Word. It's amazing, like, if you're willing to make that investment in reading God's Word, how worry just kind of fades into the background. And what happens is the more that we read God's Word, the more that He fills us with His Spirit, the more that we learn to trust in Him and have faith in Him, the more when times where we begin to worry, His Word comes right back to our heart and our mind and helps redirect us to Him. The biggest and most important thing that you can do to eliminate worry in your life is to take time every day, most probably beneficial, early in the morning, before you start your day, to surrender your life to trusting in God no matter what happens during the day and allow that worry to just fade into the background. The second remedy for worry is don't panic, pray. Don't panic, pray. When something comes up that is challenging to us and we're tempted to worry, we fall into that trap. It's like we get sucked right into it, right? In those moments, we need to stop and pray. We have two options. I can panic or I can pray. Worry doesn't change anything. Prayer does. Prayer helps us get in touch with a God who can change it. Pray about all the stuff you usually worry about. Prayer is just having conversation with God. You can do that anytime, anywhere. The moment worry comes up into your mind, you can eliminate it by taking time out to pray. Paul said that to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." And then what happens if you do that? You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will actually guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer will help eliminate the worry in your life. Now, here's something that I wrestle with. Is oftentimes we tell ourselves that we really don't have time to invest in prayer. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of days where I'll pray, and then when I get done, I'm like, well, wait a minute, what did I just do? I really just told God everything that I wanted for the day. And I really didn't take time out to listen to what He has to say to me. So don't we fall into that trap on a regular basis? Our prayer life becomes, you know, just an opportunity to walk into God's office and say, hey, this is what I need for today. If you could handle this, it would be great. See you later. I'll see you tomorrow. And we walk away. Prayer is much more than that. It's a constant communication, conversation with God throughout your day. It's practicing the presence of God in every moment of your day by being reminded that He's there and He dwells within you and He wants to guide you and encourage you and strengthen you to accomplish His purpose in your life. Prayer, in essence, takes the focus off of you and puts it on God prayer in itself is an expression of faith. So, God calls us to stop worrying and to pray about everything. As I wrestled with this week, I thought that if I really boiled it down to the main thing, is that I question, when I worry, I'm questioning my relationship with Jesus. See, when I worry about my stuff, my things, or the events, or anything that's going on in my life, I'm really focusing on me. And what I'm saying is that I'm not really content with having just Jesus in my life. And that's what worry is. Worry is saying to God, God, I love you, but I need you and this other thing. And I find myself doing that all the time. And to eliminate worry in our life, when we pray on a regular basis, we develop an intimacy with God where we become just content in being with God. Being content with just knowing Him and listening to Him. And that's what prayer ought to do for our lives. You see, if we are willing to invest that kind of time and effort into prayer, it will deepen our relationship with Christ. It'll deepen our faith in Him. And that's when the peace of God will flood your heart and your mind and your soul. Because that peace that he's talking about is the willingness to relinquish control of your life and to trust him and to be content in just him. God's response to us and challenge to us is to pray about everything. The third remedy for worry is to change what you chase after. Change what you chase after. So Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. He says, in the NIV, he says, the pagans or unbelievers will run after these things. Pagans, unbelievers, other people, non-believers, they chase after all this stuff. But since you are a believer, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be like them. Don't chase after the things of this world. Chase after Jesus and his kingdom. Change what you're chasing. Change what you're chasing after. Worry happens when things don't go my way. When my agenda is compromised, worry infiltrates my mind and my heart. It happens when my agenda doesn't match God's agenda. So let me ask you this question. Whatever it is you're worried about, what if you took your focus off of yourself and your worry and began to think about chasing after something like, what does God have for me to do today? You see the difference there? You're taking the focus off of yourself and you're putting it on other people. What is God calling me to do for him today? You see, when we chase after God and chase after his kingdom, the focus isn't on us. The focus is on him and his mission and what we can do for him. So when we're tempted to worry about tomorrow, we should look at a way that we can participate in what God wants to do in us and through us today. Worry is simply Satan's tactic to keep us from focusing on the mission that God has called us to. If he can get us focused on worrying about ourselves, he knows that we will be distracted and not be willing and able to help other people and build God's kingdom. He knows that when we focus on worrying, we can't build our faith and our relationship with God. When I was wrestling with this week, I thought, you know what? It's kind of like a dog that chases its own tail. You ever see that? A dog just chasing after his own tail? That's what we do. When we're worrying, we're chasing our own tail, right? It's useless. It looks hilarious, right? When we see a dog doing that, it's funny. I wonder sometimes that when God sees me worrying, chasing my own tail, if he just doesn't shake his head and laugh and think to himself, that's just useless. What are you doing? Instead of chasing after the things of this world, which only leads to more responsibility and more worry, chase after Jesus and his kingdom. Make Jesus and his kingdom your first priority. Because when you do that, at least two things will happen. You'll have peace in your life, and you'll grow in your faith in Jesus. Jesus commands us today to stop being worrywarts and to trust in Him. Stop worrying about all the things that are happening or are potentially going to happen in the future, and focus on building your relationship with Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, You have clearly instructed us and commanded us not to worry, and that just seems so easy to talk about, and yet not very easy to apply in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would help us, that You would flood our heart and our soul with Your Spirit so that we can deepen our faith and trust in You. We could take the focus off of ourselves and trust You to take care of us no matter what. Lord, we thank You for the incredible gift that You have given to us in forgiveness of our sins. We thank You for going to the cross for us and for conquering sin and death through the resurrection. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to live our lives for You. And that means to not be a worrywart, but to be a believer in You who is confident in who You are and what You have done in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.